Great to see you in church. Some of you might be wondering that Pastor John's got this little thing on his ear. What's that all about? I had a little cancer removed. Nothing to worry about. So if you see that, don't be distracted by it. Someone asked whether they'd removed my brain. Given it a scrub, put it back in so it's working in order. So I think we're doing okay, but that's great. Hey, today, this Sunday, is the last Sunday for a family of our church, Lauren and Ben Sanderlands. Where are you guys? Just in the centre here, Lauren and Ben and their family. Their last Sunday here with us, which is a bit sad. They're off to the US to work over in the United States. And it's been great having you guys with us for this shorter period. And then there was a time before Denver, of course, but now back to the US. And so we just want to pray for you guys. So if you're near them, why don't you just put your hands on their shoulders, and we're just going to pray God's blessing upon them. Lord, we thank you for the Sanderlands. We thank you for the way that they have just been involved in this church over a long period of time. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon them as they make their way to the States. Lord, we just pray, Father God, that you'll go ahead of them and all of those things that still need to be arranged and be organized. Lord, we pray that all those things will just fit together perfectly in your plan. And so, Lord, be with them, we pray. Give them your favour. Give them your blessing, Lord, that they'll find a great church over there to get involved in. And Lord, just go ahead. Go ahead of them, Lord, we pray in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Great to have you as part of our church. Well, this morning we are talking about the unshakable church. We started talking about this last week, and I encourage you that if you weren't here to have a look on the internet, have a look on our Capital Edge YouTube where you can catch up on that message. We're talking about the unshakable church. Someone said, what's this lurch in church about? Okay, just to explain that word lurch, it means a staggering movement away from or forward to. Okay, there is a lurch, there is a change, there is a shift in church. And we started talking last week, and we read Hebrews 12, 26 to 29, where God actually says there's some shaking going on. That there is some shaking happening in this world, and he is shaking things up to the degree that the things that remain will be unshakable. And we're talking in particular of how God over the last decade has been shaking up not just the world, but been shaking up his church. That God is doing something because he wants to claim his church back. That there are certain things, there are certain lurches, if you like. There are certain shifts that have taken place that aren't necessarily in the purposes of God. And God's saying, okay, that's enough. I want my church back. And I think that's a great place for us to be. We started looking at some of the truths or keys or principles of what it means to be an unshakable church. The first was this, that the church is about God's eternal purpose, not man's temporal pleasure. The second one was this, that the church is about dynamic living stones, not dead monuments. And we had a look at 1 Peter 2 for that, which is one of the primary foundational New Testament scriptures on the church. We also had a look at this, that the church is about holy, sacrificial lives, not self-absorbed lives. Yep. And then we looked at Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22, and we looked at this fourth principle of the unshakable church, which is this, the church is about a household of belonging, not just a meeting place of believing. I love that. That we can be accepted in this household of God. So let's read this Ephesians scripture again, because there's a couple more principles in there that I'd love us to talk about this morning. Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 22. So now you Gentiles, that's you and I, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. That's where we talked about being part of the household of belonging, not just a meeting place of believing. It goes on and says this. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. What a wonderful couple of verses that is. Here's the next principle of an unshakable church. That church is about building on a firm foundation, not adjusting to the shifting sands. Building on a firm foundation. We're told in that passage that we are to build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, what does that mean? And with the cornerstone being Jesus Christ. You see, when they built in those days, it was all built around the cornerstone. The cornerstone would be placed first, and every dimension, every level, everything was associated with that cornerstone. So can you imagine this morning that there is a cornerstone on the ground who is Jesus Christ making up the foundation, and from that leading to that cornerstone were the prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament, and they foreknew and they pretold that Jesus was coming, that there would be a Messiah and he would fulfill all the prophecies and all the truths that were taking place. And so they're important because they set part of the foundation to the cornerstone. But on the other side, making a perfect right angle, on the other side are the apostles of the New Testament. And what did they do? They told what Jesus did to fulfill what the prophet said. And so we have this perfect foundation. We have this perfect basis, how Christ is the cornerstone. He is the explanation. He is the linchpin of all of the truth. Through Jesus, we're joined together. We are strengthened, we are balanced, we are aligned. Our firm foundation as a church is the person and the saving work of Jesus Christ. We must never, ever, ever forget that. A church that doesn't preach Christ and Christ crucified has no foundation. You might say, well, that's fairly obvious, Pastor John, but I don't know. I've seen this lurch in church over the last decade where people are preaching all sorts of stuff. And I've even listened to some stuff on YouTube. And there's been this shift. It's been subtle in some cases, but sometimes you wonder, hey, where is Jesus in all of this? Where is Jesus in all this? He has to be the perfect foundation. A church that sidelines the truth of God's word has no foundation. There's been this staggering move away from the foundations to a more popular gospel, a gospel that compromises truth for inclusiveness, a gospel that calls for grace to be about just unconditional acceptance rather than loving transformation, which grace is all about. You see, it's a shifting sand. There's been a move away from an ongoing relationship with Jesus and the change that that brings in our lives to just living with an acknowledgement, some sort of code of belief, a philosophy, if you will, that doesn't impact how we want to live. It's a shifting sand. I'm reminded this morning of a hymn we used to sing as kids by a guy called Edward Mote. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then the chorus used to go like this: on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let me read to you what Jesus said, Matthew 7. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. This is Jesus speaking himself. And this is what Jesus is saying. Build upon me. Build upon my truth. Build upon what I am saying. You see, an unshakable church builds on a firm foundation, God's Son and God's Word. The divine revelation of God Himself in the flesh through Jesus Christ and in the written, inspired Word of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Fantastic. Here's the next principle. Oh, I love this. Church is about the residing, abiding presence, not the appealing, attractive program. It's about the presence. This passage in Ephesians, this passage about the church, it finishes with these words. It says, part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Let's not just breeze past that. Let me read it to you again. Part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. You see, friends, the unshakable church is God's dwelling. It's His dwelling. It's not His rental. It's His dwelling. His presence is here within us. And when we meet in fellowship together, the unshakable church is a place where there is a clear evidence of the Holy Spirit being given room to move. I love that. In case you've forgotten, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life. There is such an attractiveness that draws everyone to Jesus Christ. You see, an unshakable church is a place everyone wants to be because Jesus is present. His Spirit is moving. There's praise and there's joy and there's healing and there's miracles and there's love and there's encouragement and there's challenge and there's family. Do you know the staggering move away from this has been to make it all about structures and programs. I know what we should do. We should design an hour service. An hour service and make sure every minute is itemized. Let's not allow for divine interruptions to our programs. I'm sure the Spirit wants to lead us, but as long as He fits the schedule, right? Hey, I know, let's do it this. Let's actually schedule the Spirit in between 10:25 and 10:27. I'm being a little bit facetious, just a tad. You know, I've had people say to me, if you want to grow your church, John, it's about programs and events and conferences. That's how you build a church. You know what? I've learned over the years that you may get some more backsides on seats, but you won't build the church. Unless, friends, listen, unless the Spirit is in it. Unless the Spirit is a part of it, unless we allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. We use a word around here. The word is scaffolding. Scaffolding. We like to have a scaffolding. So for our church service, we have a little run sheet that we use. But we always remind ourselves, hey, this isn't the structure of the service. This is the scaffolding of the service. You see, a scaffolding is something that provides a little bit of structure, but it allows for the bending and the swaying of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want. We saw that this morning as Pastor Hamish just felt by the Spirit to just get us on our knees. That was a moving of the Holy Spirit. It was a gentle sifting and moving of the Holy Spirit. Well, some time ago, we had a service and we felt the Holy Spirit directing us to have an altar call mid-service. It wrecked our run sheet totally. And praise God, it did. It wrecked it, and so we went with the flow of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? In that service, there was an appeal made mid-service, and seven people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Seven people. It was their first time decision. By following the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We had complaints. Man, the service was all over the place this morning. Is it going to be like that every week? Oh, I pray so. I pray that we always allow the Spirit to move. That yeah, we've got our agenda, we've got our bits and pieces, we've got our program, we're being sensitive to the Spirit. Say, God, this is what we've planned and we believe you've directed us, but hey, you have your way. You want to come and mess it up? Feel free to, Holy Spirit. You see, that's an unshakable kind of church. Being led by the Holy Spirit, putting aside our agenda, means forgetting about our run sheet and our program. Oh, so be it. Actually, the Holy Spirit's just leading me to pray right now. Let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit, please reside here. Please take up residence here. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for those times when we get so caught up in our schedules and our programs that we don't leave room for you. Lord, I never want to hear those words from you that you really wanted to do something in your house and we locked you out. Jesus, we declare this morning, this is your house. This is your house. Holy Spirit, this is the place where we want you to reside, not just visit every now and again when we allow. So we just say this morning, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Have your place. Have your place. Do what you want to do in this place. Do what you want. Lord, I even feel right now you are touching people's hearts. You're challenging people back to the foundations. There's some people who have seen the church in a certain light, been listening to certain things and been having questions and wondering, is this what it's all about? And this morning, it's like a healing balm coming to their lives, saying, yeah, God's bringing the church back to where it needs to be, back to where I so long it to be. We thank you for what you're doing, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's look at one final passage on the unshakable church this morning, Colossians 1, verse 18 to 20. It's one of those other significant passages about the church. This is what it says. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. I love that. He is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Wow. He is the next principle of the unshakable church. Church is about the preeminence of Jesus, not the priority of me. It's about the preeminence of Jesus. The passage there says he is the first in everything. I love what Jim Cimbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle says. He says this, whatever you do, get to Jesus quick. Whatever you preach, whatever you sing, whatever you do, get to Jesus quick. Make him preeminent. Make him first of all. You see, because if church becomes all about me, then it's not about him. Let's make it about Jesus. I love, on Monday morning, we have a staff meeting and we talk about what's happened and we recapped the weekend, and we asked Hamish how the youth went, and we asked Anushka how the kids program went this morning. And we always joke about the kids program, because the kids' way, in kids' way, the little ones especially, the first answer to every question is Jesus. I love that. It's their first answer to everything. Who built an ark? Jesus. Who killed a giant with a sling and a stone? Jesus. What's Jesus' mother's name? Jesus. They just have one answer. Who's your best friend? Jesus. Now, that's a good one. What are you going to get Dad for Father's Day? Jesus. Sounds like a lot of your dads need Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything with these little ones. And though we know that's naive and that's precious and that's innocent in their response, it's a pity that as we grow older, our first response to what we face in life is seldom Jesus. Who can heal my hurt? The doctor. Who has the answer to my provision? The bank. What can encourage me through this dark time? A holiday. Come on. Who can I trust? Mum, Dad, and Aldo, my hairdresser. Come on. Friends, for us to be the unshakable church, we must learn to make him first. To make him first. What does that mean? That means that if another option is available, he comes first. It means that if I need answers, I ask him first. That means that if people offer much needed advice, that's great, but I still seek his wisdom first. That if there are important decisions to be made, I pray for his direction first. Where busyness swamps my world, demanding all of my time, I put him first. When there's pressure to relegate him to second place or third place, I make sure that he is first. The great Martin Luther of the Reformation said this: today, I have three times as much to do than I did yesterday. Therefore, I need to spend three times longer with my Lord. You see, friends, the answer to a busy life isn't to skip Jesus. It's to make him first. To make him first. Oh, Jesus, be first. Be first in our church. Be first in our lives. We pray. Here's the final principle this morning for an unshakable church. I think this one's just as good as the last one. It says this: church is about being saved and reconciled to God, not trying to earn his favor. See this passage in Colossians, it finishes with this: through Christ, through his blood shed on a cross, God has reconciled everything to himself. I looked at that word reconcile because I had always thought of reconciliation, the word reconcile, to mean a certain thing, but now I understand it means so much more than I first understood. It actually comes, that word reconcile comes from two words. The first word is to take that which was separated. And the second word means this: to take that which was separated and compound it and invest it into the other, so that when you look at it, it has become totally absorbed in the whole. Now, let me explain that a little bit more. It's like when you get two alloy metals, and when you meld those metals together, they become one thing. They become one solid metal. You can't tell the difference between one and the other. You see, I used to think this, that reconciliation, being reconciled, was just about being accepted, being brought back to God, being accepted. But it's more than that. It's about being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, becoming like Jesus. You see, when we are saved, listen to this. When we are saved, we are compounded. We are invested by the life-giving blood of Jesus into relationship so that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. Wow. You see, to be unshakable, it actually means that we understand what it means to be a child of God. We understand what that really means, to be a child of God. You see, we don't become the church so we're accepted. We don't become the church so that we can earn brownie points with God. We don't become the church to validate our spot in eternity. We become the church because we love hanging out with Dad and the fam. We become the church because we're his family. We've been reconciled. We carry the image of Jesus Christ. We see each other, yeah, but we also see Jesus because the genes are solid in the family of God. In fact, it'd be a bit strange and abnormal if we didn't get together as the family of God. It just wouldn't seem right. It'd seem like a Christmas without talking to the fam. It just would seem different. Wouldn't seem right. The unshakable, to get back to be the unshakable church. Get back to the basics. Get back to the foundations. Forget all the other stuff. Just love Jesus. Serve Jesus. Represent Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. Challenge our hearts to see healing and forgiveness. Love expressed. That's the unshakable church. That's the church that I want to be a part of. Let's agree this morning to be his unshakable church. Amen. Building on the firm foundation of Christ and the Word of God, prioritizing his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, making sure that Jesus is our first consideration, and rejoicing that we are saved and reconciled as God's children. Amen. Let's close our eyes.